Lutzer hitched up his robe and scurried back down the path. Lopsang ran after him. A high-pitched whine seemed to be coming out of the rocks themselves. The sweeper skidded at the carp pond, now erupting in strange waves, and headed down a shady track alongside a stream. Red ibises erupted into flight. He stopped and threw himself flat on the paving slabs. "Get down, now!" But Lopsang was already headlong. He heard something pass overhead with a plangent sound. He looked back and saw the last ibis tumbling in the air, shedding feathers and shrinking as it flew. It squawked and vanished with a pop. Not vanished entirely. An egg followed the same trajectory for a few seconds and then smashed on the stones. "Random time! Come on, come on!" shouted Lutzer. He scrambled to his feet again, headed towards an ornamental grill in the cliff face ahead of them, and with surprising strength, wrenched it out of the wall. "It's a bit of a drop, but if you roll when you land, you'll be okay," he said, lowering himself into the hole. "Where does it go?" "The procrastinators, of course." "But novices aren't allowed in there under pain of death." "Well, that's a coincidence," said Lutzer, lowering himself to the tips of his fingers, "because death is what awaits you if you stay out there, too." He dropped into the darkness. A moment later, there was an unenlightened curse from below. Lopsang climbed in, hung by his fingertips, dropped and rolled when he hit the floor below. "Well done," said Lutzer in the gloom. "When in doubt, choose to live. This way." The passageway opened into a wide corridor. The noise here was shattering. Something mechanical was in agony. There was a crump, and a few moments after, a babble of voices. Several dozen monks, wearing thick cork hats as well as their traditional robes, came running around the corner. Most of them were yelling. A few of the brighter ones were saving their breath in order to cover the ground more quickly. Lutzer grabbed one of them, who tried to struggle free. "Let me go! What's happening? Just get out of here before they all go!" The monk shook himself free and sped after the rest of them. Lutzer bent down, picked up a fallen cork helmet, and solemnly handed it to Lopsang. "Health and safety at work," he said. "Very important." "Will it protect me?" said Lopsang, putting it on. "Not really. But when they find your head, it may be recognizable. When we get into the hall, don't touch anything." Lopsang had been expecting some vaulted, magnificent structure. People talked about the Procrastinator Hall as if it was some kind of huge cathedral. But what there was at the end of the passage was a haze of blue smoke. It was only when his eyes got accustomed to the swirling gloom that he saw the nearest cylinder. It was a squat pillar of rock, about 3 yards across and 6 yards high. It was spinning so fast that it was a blur. Around it, the air flickered with slivers of silver-blue light.
"See? They're dumping! Over here, quick!"
He ran after Lutzer, and saw there were hundreds, no, thousands of cylinders, some of them reaching all the way to the cavern roof. There were still monks in here. Some of them were running to and from the wells with buckets of water, which flashed into steam when they threw it over the smoking stone bearings at the base of the cylinders.
"Idiots," the sweeper muttered.
He cupped his hands and shouted,
"Where is the overseer?"
Lopsang pointed down to the edge of a wooden podium built onto the wall of the hall. There was a rotting cork hat there, and a pair of ancient sandals, and in between was a pile of grey dust.
"Poor fellow," said Lutzer. "A full 50,000 years in one jolt, I'd say."
He glared at the scurrying monks again.
"Will you lot stop and come here? I ain't going to ask you twice."
Several of them swept the sweat out of their eyes and trotted toward the podium, relieved to hear any kind of order, while behind them the procrastinators screamed.
"Right," said Lutzer, as they were joined by more and more. "Now, listen to me. This is just a surge cascade. You've all heard of them. We can deal with it. We just have to cross-link futures and pasts, fast as ones first."
"Poor Mr. Schoblang already tried that," said a monk.
He nodded at the sad pile.
"Then I want two teams."
Lutzer stopped.
"No, we haven't got time. We'll do it by the soles of our feet, like we used to. One man to a spinner, just smack the bars when I say. Ready to go when I call the numbers?"
Lutzer climbed onto the podium and ran his eye over a board covered with wooden bobbins. A red or blue nimbus hovered over each one.
"What a mess," he said.
"What a mess!"
"What do they mean?" said Lobsang. Lutzer's hands hovered over the bobbins.
"Okay, the red-tinted ones are winding time out, speeding it up," he said. "The blue-tinted ones, they're winding time in, slowing it down. Brightness of the colour, that's how fast they're doing it. Except that now they're all freewheeling because the surge cut them loose, understand?"
"We're loose from what?"
"From the load, from the world. See, up there?"
He waved a hand toward two long racks that ran all the way along the cavern wall. Each one held a row of swiveling shutters, one line blue, one line dark red.
"The more shutters showing a colour, the more time winding or unwinding?"
"Good lad. Got to keep it balanced. And the way we get through this is we couple the spinners up in twos so that they wind and unwind one another. Cancel themselves out. Poor old Schoblang was trying to put them back into service, I reckon. Can't be done. Not during a cascade. You've got to let it fall over and then pick up the pieces when it's nice and quiet."
He glanced at the bobbins and then at the crowd of monks.
"Right, you! 100 to 17, and then 45 to 89. Off you go. And you, 596 to, let's see, yes, 402. 790,
shouted Lobsang, pointing to a bobbin.
"You what? 790? Don't be daft. That's still unwinding, lad. 402 is our man right here.
790 is about to start winding time again.
It's still bright blue.
It's going to unwind. I know it because..."
The novice's finger moved over the lines of bobbins, hesitated, and pointed to a bobbin on the other side of the board.
"It's matching speeds with this one."
Lutzer appeared.
"It is written. Well, I'll go to the foot of our stairs," he said. "They're forming a natural inversion."
He squinted at Lobsang.
"You're not the reincarnation of someone, are you? That happens a lot in these parts."
I don't think so. It's just obvious."
"A moment ago you didn't know anything about these."
Yes, but when you see them, it's obvious."
"Is it? Now, kill the board! No one touch nothing!"
For a moment, there was dead silence in the hall. The monks watched, holding their breath. This was a timeless moment of perfect balance. And in that timeless moment, the ghost of Mr. Schoblang, to whom the scene was hazy and fuzzy as a thought seen through a gauze, said,
"This is just impossible. Did you see that?"
"See what?" said a dark figure behind him. Schoblang turned.
"Oh,"
he said, and added with sudden certainty,
"your death, right?"
"Yes, I am sorry that I am late."
The spirit, formerly known as Schoblang, looked down at the pile of dust that represented his worldly habitation for the previous 600 years.
"So am I," he said.
He nudged Death in the ribs.
"Excuse me."
"I said I'm sorry I'm late. Bada bing, bada boom."
"I beg your pardon."
Sorry I'm late. Like, dead."
Death nodded. "Oh, I see. It was the bada bing, bada boom I did not understand."
Well, that was to show it was a joke," said Schoblang.
"Ah, yes, I can see how that would be necessary. In fact, Mr. Schoblang, while you are late, you are also early. Bada bing, bada boom."
"Pardon?"
"You have died before your time."
"Well, yes, I should think so."
"Do you have any idea why? It's very unusual."
"All I know is that spinners went wild, and I must have copped a load when one of them went over speed," said Schoblang. "But hey, what about that kid, eh? Look at the way he's making the buggers dance. I wish I'd had him training under me. What am I saying? He could give me a few tips."
Death looked around. "To whom do you refer?"
"Well, that boy, up on the podium, see him?"
"No, I'm afraid I see no one there."
"What? Look, he's right there! plain as the nose on your face? Well, obviously not on your face.
I see the colored pegs moving.
Well, who do you think is moving them? I mean, you are Death, right? I thought you could see everyone.
Death stared at the dancing bobbins. Everyone that I should see, he said. He continued to stare.
Ahem, said Schoblang.
Oh, yes. Where were we?
Look, if I'm too early, then can't you?
Oh, everything that happens stays happened.
Well, what kind of philosophy is that?
The only one that works. Death took out an hourglass and consulted it. I see that because of this problem, you are not due to reincarnate for 79 years. Do you have anywhere to stay?
Stay? I'm dead. It's not like locking yourself out of your own house, said Schoblang, who was beginning to fade.
Perhaps you could be bumped up to an earlier birth.
Schoblang vanished. In the timeless moment, Death turned back to stare at the Hall of Spinners. The chalk cylinder started to spin up again, squeaking gently. One by one, the oak procrastinators began to revolve, picking up the rising load. This time there was no scream of bearings. They twirled slowly, like old ballerinas, this way and that, gradually taking up the strain as millions of humans in the world outside bent time around themselves. The creaking sounded like a tea clipper round Cape Roth on a gentle breeze. Then the big stone cylinders groaned as they picked up the time their smaller brethren couldn't handle. A rumbling underlaid the creaking now, but it was still gentle, controlled. Lutzer lowered his hand gently and straightened up.
A nice, clean pickup, he said. Well done, everyone.
He turned to the astonished, panting monk and beckoned the most senior towards him. Lutzer pulled a ragged cigarette end out of its lodging behind his ear and said,
Well now, Rambert Handysides, what do you think happened just now, eh?
Well, there was a surge which blew out.
Nah. After that, said Lutzer, striking a match on the sole of his sandal. See, what I don't think happened was that you boys ran around like a lot of headless chickens and a novice got up on that platform and did the sweetest, smoothest bit of rebalancing that I've ever seen. That couldn't have happened, because that sort of thing does not happen. Am I right?
The monks of the procrastinator floor were not among the temple's great political thinkers. Their job was to tend and grease and strip down and rebuild and follow the directions of the man on the platform. Rambat Handyside's brow wrinkled. Lutzer sighed.
See, what I think happened, he said helpfully, was that you lads rose to the occasion, right? And left myself and the young man there aghast at the practical skills you all showed. Well, the abbot will be impressed and blow happy bubbles. You could be looking at some extra momos in your thugpa come dinner time, if you get my drift.
Handysides ran this up his mental flagpole, and it did indeed send prayers to heaven. He began to smile.
However, said Lutzer, stepping closer and lowering his voice, I'll probably be around again soon. This place looks as though it could do with a good sweeping, and if I don't find you boys pin-sharp and prodding buttock inside a week, you and me will have a talk.
The smile vanished.
Yes, sweeper. You've got to test them all and see to those bearings.
Yes, sweeper.
And someone clean up Mr. Schoblang.
Yes, sweeper.
Fair play to you, then. Me and young Lobsang here will be going. You've done a lot for his education.
He took the unresisting Lobsang by the hand and led him out of the hall, past the long lines of turning, humming procrastinators. A pall of blue smoke still hung under the high ceiling.
Truly, it is written, you could knock me down with a feather, he muttered as they headed up the sloping passage. You spotted that inversion before it happened. I'd have blown us into next week, at least.
Sorry, sweeper.
Sorry? You don't have to be sorry. I don't know what you are, son. You're too quick. You're taking to this place like a duck to water. You don't have to learn stuff that takes other people years to get the hang of. Old Schoblang, May he be reincarnated somewhere nice and warm. Even he couldn't balance the load down to a second. I mean, a second? Over a whole damn world? He shuddered. A year's a tip. Don't let it show. People can be funny about that sort of thing.
Yes, Sweeper.
And another thing, said Luther, leading the way out into the light. What was all that fuss just before the procrastinators cut loose? You felt something.
I don't know. I just felt everything went wrong for a moment.
Ever happened before?
No. It was a bit like what happened in the Mandala Hall.
Well, don't talk about it to anyone else. Most of the high-ups these days probably don't even know how the spinners work. No one cares about them anymore. No one notices something that works too well. Of course, in the old days, you weren't even allowed to become a monk until you'd spent 6 months in the hall, greasing and cleaning and fetching, and we were better for it. These days, it's all about learning obedience and cosmic harmony. Well, you learned that in the halls in the old days. You learned, if you didn't jump out of the way when someone yelled, "She's dumping," you got a couple of years where it hurt. And that there's no harmony better than all the spinners turning sweetly.
The passage rose into the main temple complex. People were still scurrying around as they headed for the Mandala Hall.
You're sure you can look at it again? Said Lutzer.
Yes, Sweeper.
Okay, you know best.
The balconies overlooking the hall were crowded with monks, but Lutzer worked his way forward by polite yet firm use of his broom. The senior monks were clustered at the edge. Rinpo caught sight of him.
Ah, Sweeper, he said. Some dust delayed you?
Spinners cut free and went over speed, muttered Lutzer.
Yes, but you were summoned by the abbot, said the acolyte reproachfully.
Upon a time, said Lutzer, every man jack of us would have legged it down to the hall when the gongs went.
Yes, but... Brum, brrr,
said the abbot. And Lopsang saw now that he was being carried in a sling on the acolyte's back, with an embroidered pixie hood on his head to keep the chill off.
Lutzer always was very keen on the practical approach. Brrr.
He blew milky suds into the acolyte's ear.
I am glad matters have been resolved, Lutzer.
The sweeper bowed, while the abbot started to beat the acolyte gently over the head with a wooden bear.
History has repeated, Lutzer. Dum, 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 brrr.
Last clock? Said Lutzer.
The senior monks gasped.
How could you possibly know that? Said the chief acolyte. We haven't rerun the mandala yet.
It is written, I've got a feeling in my water, said Lutzer.
And that was the only other time I ever heard of when all the spinners went wild like that. They all cut loose. Time slip. Someone's building a glass clock again. That is quite impossible, said the acolyte. We removed every trace.
Ha! It is written, I'm not as green as I'm cabbage-looking, snapped Lutzer. Something like that you can't kill. It leaks back. Stories, dreams, paintings on cave walls, whatever.
Lopsang looked down at the mandala floor. Monks were clustered around a group of tall cylinders at the far end of the hall. They looked like procrastinators, but only one small one was spinning, slowly. The others were motionless, showing the massive symbols that were carved into them from top to bottom. Pattern storage. A thought arrived in his head. That is where the mandala's patterns are kept, so they can be replayed. Today's patterns on the little one, long-term storage on the big one. Below him, the mandala rippled, blotches of colour and scraps of pattern drifting across its surface. One of the distant monks called out something, and the small cylinder... The rolling sand grains were still.
This is how it looked 20 minutes ago, said Rinpo. See the blue and white dot there? And then it spreads.
I know what I'm looking at, said Lutzer grimly. I was there when it happened, remember?
Your reverence, get them to run the old glass clock sequence. We haven't got a lot of time. I really think we...
The acolyte began, but it was interrupted by a blow from a rubber brick.
Wanna potty! Wanna potty! If Lutzer is right, then we must not waste time, gentlemen. And if he is wrong, then we have time to spare. Is this not so? Potty now! Potty now! Wanna, wanna, wanna!
Thank you, said the sweeper.
He cupped his hands.
Oi! You lot! Spindle 2, fourth bing, round about the 19th gupper, and jump to it!
I really must respectfully protest, Your Reverence, said the acolyte. We have practice for just such an emergency as...
Yeah, I know all about practicing procedures for emergencies, said Lutzer, and there's always something missing.
Ridiculous! We take great pains to...
You always leave out the damn emergency!
Lutzer turned back to the hall and the apprehensive workers.
Ready? Good. Put it on the floor now, or I shall have to come down there, and I don't want to have to come down there.
There was some frantic activity by men around the cylinders, and a new pattern replaced the one below the balcony. The lines and colours were in different places, but a blue-white circle occupied the centre.
There, said Lutzer. That was less than 10 days before the clock struck.
There was silence from the monks. Lutzer smiled grimly.
And 10 days later...
Time stopped, said Lobsang.
That's one way of putting it,
said Lutzer. He'd gone red in the face. One of the monks put a hand on his shoulder.
It's all right, sweeper, he said soothingly. We know you couldn't have got there in time.
Being in time is supposed to be what we do, said Lutzer.
I was nearly at the damn door, Charlie. Too many castles, not enough time.
Behind him, the mandala returned to its slow metering of the present.
It wasn't your fault, said the monk.
Lutzer shook the hand free and turned to face the abbot over the shoulder of the chief acolyte.
I want permission to track this one down right now, Reverend Sir, he said.
He tapped his nose.
I've got the smell of it. I've been waiting for this all these years. You won't find me wanting this time.
In the silence, the abbot blew a bubble.
It'll be in Überwelt again, said Lutzer,
a hint of pleading in his voice.
That's where they mess around with the electric. I know every inch of that place. Give me a couple of men, and we can nip this right in the bud.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. This needs discussion, Lutzer. But we thank you for your offer. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba,
said the abbot.
Rimpo, I want all blum, blum, blum senior field monks in the room of silence within 5 ba-ba-ba-ba-ba minutes. Are the spinners working b-thum, b-thum, harmoniously?
One of the monks looked up from a scroll he had been handed.
It appears so, Your Reverence. My congratulations to the boardmaster, Bickett!
But Schoblang is dead,
murmured Lutzer. The abbot stopped blowing bubbles.
That is sad news, and he was a friend of yours, I understand.
Shouldn't have happened like that,
the sweeper muttered.
Shouldn't have happened like that.
Compose yourself, Lutzer. I will talk to you shortly. Bickett!
The chief acolyte, spurred on by a blow across the ear with a rubber monkey, hurried away. The press of monks began to thin out as they went about their duties. Lutzer and Lobsang were left on the balcony, looking down at the rippling mandala. Lutzer cleared his throat.
See them spinners at the end, he said.
A little one records the patterns for a day, and then anything interesting is stored in the big one. I just pre-membered you were going to say that.
Good word. Good word. The lad has talent.
Lutzer lowered his voice.
Anyone watching us?
Lobsang looked around. There's a few people still here. Lutzer raised his voice again.
You've been taught anything about the big crash?
Well, only rumours, sweeper.
Yeah, there were a lot of rumours. The day, time stood still, all that sort of thing.
Lutzer sighed.
You know, most of what you get taught is lies.
It has to be.
Sometimes, if you get the truth all at once, you can't understand it.
You knew Ankh Morpork pretty well, didn't you?
Ever go to the opera house?
Well, only for pickpocket practice, sweeper.
Ever wondered about it? Ever look at that little theatre just across the road, called a Dice, I think?
Oh, yes. We got penny tickets and sat on the ground and threw nuts at the stage.
And it didn't make you think. Big opera house all plush and gilt and big orchestras. And then there's this little thatch theatre, all bare wood and no seats, and one bloke playing a crumb horn for musical accompaniment.
Lobsang shrugged. Well, no, that's just how things are. Lutzer almost smiled.
Very flexible things, human minds, he said. It's amazing what they can stretch to fit. We did a fine job there.
Lutzer! One of the lesser acolytes was waiting respectfully. The abbot will see you now, he said.
All right,
said the sweeper. He nudged Lobsang and whispered,
We are going to Ankh-Morpork, lad.
What? But you said you wanted to be sent to...
Lutzer winked. Cause it is written, them as asks don't get. See? There's more than one way of choking a dang-dang than stuffing it with pling, lad.
Is there?
Oh, yes, if you've got enough pling. Now, let's see the abbot, shall we? It'll be time for his feed now. Solids, thank goodness. At least he's done with a wet nurse. It was so embarrassing for him and the young lady. Honestly, you didn't know where to put your face. Neither did he. I mean, mentally, he's 900 years old. That must make him very wise.
Pretty wise, pretty wise.
But age and wisdom don't necessarily go together, I've always found, said Lutzer, as they approached the abbot's rooms. Some people just become stupid with more authority. Not his reverence, of course.
The abbot was in his high chair, and had recently flicked a spoonful of nourishing pap all over the chief acolyte, who was smiling like a man whose job depended on looking happy that parsnip and gooseberry custard was dribbling down his forehead. It occurred to Lobsang, not for the first time, that the abbot was a little bit more than purely random in his attacks on the man. The acolyte was, indeed, the kind of mildly objectionable person who engendered an irresistible urge by any right-thinking person to pour goo into his hair and hit him with a rubber yak, and the abbot was old enough to listen to his inner child.
"You sent for me, your reverence," said Lutzer, bowing.
The abbot upturned his bowl down the chief acolyte's robe.
"Wah, yes, Lutzer. How old are you now?"
800, your reverence, but that's no age at all. Nevertheless, you have spent a lot of time in the world. I understood you were looking to retire and cultivate your gardens.
Yes, but,
the abbot smiled angelically. Like an old war horse, you say ha-ha at the sound of trumpets, yes?
Oh, I don't think so, said Lutzer. There's nothing funny about trumpets, really.
I meant that you long to be out in the field again. But you have been helping to train world operatives for many years, haven't you? These gentlemen.
On one side of the room, a number of burly and muscular monks were sitting. They were kitted out for travel, with rolled sleeping mats on their backs, and they were dressed in loose black clothing. They nodded sheepishly at Lutzer, and their eyes above their half-masks looked embarrassed.
I did my best, said Lutzer. Of course others trained them. I just tried to undo the damage. I never taught them to be ninjas.
He nudged Lobsang.
That apprentice is Agatean for the passing wind, he said in a stage whisper.
I am proposing to send them out immediately. Wah!
The abbot hit his high chair with his spoon.
That is my order, Lutzer. You are a legend, but you have been a legend for a long time. Why not trust in the future? Pick it!
I see, said Lutzer sadly. Oh, well, it had to happen sometime. Thank you for your consideration, your reverence.
Brrrm! Lutzer, I have known you a long time. You will not go within 100 miles of Uberfeld, will you?
Not at all, your reverence.
That is an order.
Oh, I understand, of course.
You've disobeyed my ba-ba-ba orders before, though. In Omnia, I remember.
A tactical decision made by the man on the spot, your reverence. It was more what you might call an interpretation of your order, said Lutzer.
You mean going where you had distinctly been told not to go and doing what you were absolutely forbidden to do?
Well, yes, your reverence. Sometimes you have to move the seesaw by pushing the other end. When I did what shouldn't be done in a place where I shouldn't have been, I achieved what needed to be done in the place where it should have happened.
The abbot gave Lutzer a long, hard stare, the kind that babies are good at giving.
Lutzer, you are not to go to Uberfeld, or anywhere near Uberfeld, you understand?
He said. I do, your reverence. You're right, of course. But in my dotage, may I travel another path of wisdom rather than violence? I wish to show this young man the way.
There was laughter from the other monks.
The way of the washerwoman, said Rimpo.
Mrs. Cosmopolite is a dressmaker, said Lutzer calmly.
Whose wisdom is in sayings like it won't get better if you pick it, said Rimpo, winking at the rest of the monks.
Few things get better if you pick at them, said Lutzer,
and now his calmness was a lake of tranquillity.
It may be a means to way, but small and unworthy though it is my way.
He turned to the abbot.
That was how it used to be, Your Reverence. You recall? Master and pupil go out in the world where the pupil may pick up practical instruction by precept and example, and then the pupil finds his own way. And at the end of his way, he finds himself. Thum, said the abbot.
First, he finds a teacher, said Lutzer.
He is lucky that you will be that teacher.
Reverend sir, said Lutzer, it is in the nature of ways that none can be sure who the teacher may be. All I can do is show him a path.
Which will be in the direction of the city, said the abbot.
Yeah, said Lutzer. And Ankh-Morpork is a long way from Uberfeld.
You won't send me to Uberfeld because I'm an old man, so in all respect I beg you to humour an old man.
I have no choice when you put it like that, said the abbot.
Reverend sir,
began Rimpo, who felt that he did. The spoon was banged on the tray again.
Lutzer is a man of high reputation, the abbot shouted. I trust him implicitly to do the correct action. I just wish I could trust him to do what I want. I have forbidden him to go to Uberfeld. Now do you wish me to forbid him not to go to Uberfeld? Pick it! I have spoken. And now, will all you gentlemen be so good as to leave? I have urgent business to attend to.
Lutzer bowed and grabbed Lopsang's arm.
Come on, lad, he whispered. Let's bugger off quick before anyone works it out.
On the way out, they passed a lesser acolyte carrying a small potty with a pattern of bunny rabbits around it.
It's not easy reincarnating, said Lutzer, running down the corridor. Now we've got to be out of here before someone gets any funny ideas, lad. Grab your bag and bedroll.
But no one would countermand the abbot's orders, would they? Said Lobsang as they skidded around a corner.
Ha! It'll be his nap in 10 minutes. And if they give him a new toy when he wakes up, he might end up being so busy banging square green pegs into round blue holes that he'll forget what he said, said Lutzer. Politics, lad. Too many idiots will start saying what they're sure the abbot would have meant. Off you go now. I'll see you in the Garden of Five Surprises in 1 minute.
When Lobsang arrived, Lutzer was carefully tying one of the bonsai mountains into a bamboo framework. He fastened the last knot and placed it in a bag over one shoulder.
Won't it get damaged? Said Lobsang. It's a mountain. How can it get damaged?
Lutzer picked up his broom.
And we'll just drop in and have a chat with an old mate of mine before we leave, though. Maybe we'll pick up some stuff.
What's going on, sweeper? Said Lobsang, trailing after him.
Well, it's like this, lad. Me and the abbot and the bloke we're going to see, we go back a long way. Things are a bit different now. The abbot can't just say, Lutzer, you're an old rogue. It was you that put the idea of the Uberfeld into everyone's head in the first place. But I see you're onto something, so off you go and follow your nose.
But I thought he was the supreme ruler.
Exactly, and it's very hard to get things done when you're a supreme ruler. There's too many people in the way mucking things up. This way, the new lads can have fun running around Uberfeld going, hey, and we, my lad, will be heading for Ankh-Morpork. The abbot knows that, but almost knows that.
How do you know the new clock is being built in Ankh-Morpork? Said Lobsang, trailing behind Lutzer as he took a mossy, sunken path that led through rhododendron thickets to the monastery wall.
I know. I tell you, the day someone pulls the plug out of the bottom of the universe, the chain will lead all the way to Ankh-Morpork, and some bugger saying, I just wanted to see what would happen. All roads lead to Ankh-Morpork.
I thought all roads led away from Ankh-Morpork.
Not the way we're going. Ah, here we are.
End of side 6.